What not to do. That was something, what to do. But we're looking at situations, people, stories in the Bible that we can draw from to say, you know what, because most of us have grown up in church and we get told what to do. Yes? But sometimes it's good to look at examples and say, you know what, that was maybe not the greatest idea. Yeah? And not that we would be doing anything any different. We tend to think, if I was in Esau's shoes, thinking about last week's message, if I was in Esau's shoes, I wouldn't sell my birthright like that. It's like we were discussing this yesterday in life group. It's like, but what if Esau came and he's hungry, and you know how siblings are, they banter, and he sits down, he's like, give me your birthright and I'll give you my soup. He's not thinking through that properly. I mean, they've been wrestling since they were small. It's like, yeah, sure, off you go. We fall into those things. So it's not like we would do something different, but it's good to look at that and see what can we draw from that. What can we do and do better? Because that's what we want to do, yes? I'm hoping that's everybody here, not just me. Want to do better. Yes, if you look at all the drop balls in my life, you could be like, dude, you need to do lots better. And this morning, we're looking at a very sort of, I've always read the Tower of Babel as one of those Sunday school stories. Yeah, so in Uptown, if you've ever grown up in Sunday school, you would have done quite a, there's some stories, you do the flood, you do Daniel in the lion's den, you do obviously the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, but there's these stories that gets repeated in Sunday school. It's like, that's how you grew up. Tower of Babel was one of them, and it's one of those like, why is it in there? I mean, it's like, we look at the world now and we see there's lots of people, different languages, so we assume God did it at some point. But why may put that, I mean, it's a bit of an odd story, unless you all knew already and it made complete sense for you guys. Brilliant. I'm catching up to you now. But it's very interesting. So where did the Tower of Babel, let's start there. Where did it happen in the history of mankind? And I found a picture of it online, and we can look there and see. So God creates everything. Adam and Eve come along, and we know that there's the fall there. And then God decides the world is completely evil, and he brings the flood, wipes out humanity. And then from there, Tower of Babel. And then Abraham's story. So we get the flood. And then finally, if you go and read that, just before you read the Tower of Babel, I think it's Genesis 11. Just before that, Genesis 10, this is the descendants of Noah. So it gives Noah's thing. Just after the Tower of Babel, this is the descendants of Shem. So it's Noah's. Shem was one of Noah's sons, by the way. So it's Noah's genealogy. And then Shem. And in the middle, there's Tower of Babel. Why there? Why the Tower of Babel? It's interesting because for me, this, when I read this week, it sort of struck me that this is one of those moments in the history of the world that's quite impactful. Something big happened in this moment that not just points into the past, but I think it points into the future. It's something that's significant enough for us to take note of. Even reading those names, this one begat this one, and he was saying this one. It may seem tedious, but in this, every now and then, you find something that points to something else. And we're not going to go into that this morning, but it's just interesting to note that we have the flood. God comes out, and he gives a commandment to Noah. He says, well, he makes this commandment with him, and he promises that he'll never destroy the earth again with a flood, and he puts the rainbow in the sky. We all know the story, yes? Yeah? Yeah. Who did, what, you, Sunday school was empty when you guys were small, eh? Yeah, so rainbow comes, and interesting sidebar, right as they come out, God says to Noah, he says, the fear of man will be in animals. So that means up until then, it looks like the animals were pretty friendly with human interacting with him. And then after that, the fear of them will be in you. Why? Because he says, well, just like I gave you all the green things to eat previously, I now give you all everything to eat, everything that crawls and lives. So it looks like before the flood, everyone was vegan. Okay, so okay, all the vegetarians are like, yes, I knew it, I knew it. Sorry, just sidebar. I'm coming back. Yes. Thank you, Taryn. So in the middle of this genealogy, we found the story of the Tower of Babel. And when we read that genealogy, just a side thing there, it says people were dispersed from there. One of them, Nimrod, one of the sons of Noah's sons, their son's son, this guy called Nimrod. And it says he was actually like sort of in charge of Babel. And from there they were dispersed. So there's this thing that happens that we need to take note of. But let's read it so we can see what happened. So in Genesis 11, verse 1 to 9, it says, "Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, 'Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man built. And the Lord said, 'Behold, they are one people, and they all have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Come, let us go down there, confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the earth, and they left off the building of the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth." Like I said, interesting story. But when we read that, there's three things that really just jumps out at me. Three things, very briefly, and this is my path for this morning. We're going to look at three things that we can pull from there. First thing, they were following a blueprint. You can see it says they were migrating, then they settled, then they discovered bricks, and they built a tower. So they were following something. There's a path that they were following, a blueprint, if you like. And then we need to ask ourselves, then they settled and they started building, who were they building for? What were they building? What were they building, and who were they building it for? And then, probably the most important question from this, what does God do to those that oppose him? I'm not sure if you all got that big questions from there, but what does God do with those oppose him? So those three questions. What blueprint are we following? Who are we building for? What does God do to those who oppose him? So we're in the series, What Not to Do. So let's look at this group of people. We saw three things that sort of struck out. So first thing, what not to do. Do not follow the wrong blueprint. Seems simple, yes? Don't follow the wrong blueprint. You think, if you look at the universe around us, everything has a design. From the smallest molecule to the biggest planet there is, everything has a design. We have a design. Yes, we can all see that our systems, where all the physio and all those people, everything is connected. There's a system within our bodies. We are designed. But more than that, we're not just designed biologically. We're designed to have a purpose. You are not here by accident. You're not sitting here this morning listening to me waffle on by accident. There's a plan. And it's quite clear in the beginning of Genesis, when you read, God created Adam and Eve, and he says, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Do you get that? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. When Noah comes out the ark, remember the timeline? Noah comes out the ark, God says, "Be fruitful and fill the earth." Same commandment. So for these people, the commandment was, I've designed you, I've made you, now go and fill the earth. Simple, yes. Essentially, go and explore. How many of us would like to just get into a camper and go and explore? I'm there. Yes? Just go. That's the command. It's like, go. And they did. They came out the ark and they were like, hey, there's all this land to explore. Let's go. And they were going. They went eastward, it says there, and God blessed them. And I lost my point here. But yeah, they left and they went eastward. In those first few verses that we read, it says they went eastward, and then what happens? They found a plain. We like that. Because when we go, if we go exploring, if you've ever gone, like sort of just driven into different countries, we went on mission in Lesotho once, it's brilliant. Until you get there, and then it's like, now you have to sleep on the floor. And it's uncomfortable. And you need to eat different food that you're not used to. It's uncomfortable. So when you come back, it's like, oh, I can rest now. I can settle down. As soon as things get a little bit too much, roughing it, we want to settle. Yes, maybe it's just me. But yes, this is a group of people. Heard God. Fill the earth. Yes, we're going eastwards. Yes, off they go. Eastward. Find the plain. This is much better here. Yes, look there. There's desert. There's bushes there. Let's be here. Because that's, yeah. And that's what happened. It's not a bad thing sometimes to take a break, settle. Sometimes it's a good thing. But when God was saying, go, then it's not such a good thing. Because what happens? We settle, we rest, then we discover bricks. Oh, look at me. Yeah. So they found a plain and they settled in. Instead of following God's plan, they dug in. And stop, settle, deviating from the blueprint. Started following their own blueprint. Because that's what happens when we settle, when we stop. Little things. If God has a plan for you, yes, we all agree with that. God has a mission. Let's go on this mission. You go, but then something happens, and let me just settle here. Like this group of people, let's settle here while we regroup. It just probably, listen, it's been tough out there. Let's settle here for a little bit. And then someone goes, hey, look, I've got bricks. Excellent. So what we can do is we can make a thing that, so now we're more comfortable. So they've got bricks and they start building. And then it's like, okay, we can build stuff. Why don't we build a tower that reaches up to the heavens? Small steps. One deviation from God's plan ends up completely off track. And that's what we need to be careful in our lives. If God said, go, and we start and we stop, something small comes in. Now, I think I'm just going to do this now. It's just for now. Pretty soon you've settled there. And then, next thing, you're way off God's path. We don't, deep down, if we're all honest with ourselves, we'd rather settle than be sent. As cool as sent sound, we rather want to settle because it's comfortable. It's a lot easier. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to settle. He wants us, when those opposition comes against us, he wants us to settle. He wants us to stop what we're doing, take a breath, and sit and not move. It's the easiest thing for the enemy to do. You've been working so hard. Who's been working hard? Who's been studying hard here? I mean, it's been 2026 has been quite a hectically long year with all the stuff that's been going on. Who does not need a break right now? Yes? That's the time when we need to push. When that need for the break comes. But, like I said, be wise about it. Yes? Are we all on the same page here? Excellent, because we need to. You know, there was quite some time ago, I was working for the newspaper, and there was lots of pressure at work. And I was all over the show. Lots of stuff going on, lots of deadlines. People didn't like me, and you know, corporate politics. So all of this is going on, and I'm sitting at home. I'm like, yo, Lord, are you in this thing? Everything is dear makar. I mean, really now, what is going on? And then the Monday morning, I walk out. Well, it wasn't a Monday. It was midweek. I walk out early in the morning to get to the office, and I'm grumpy because I'm like, eh. So I get to my car, I get closer to the car, and we stayed in a complex, and there was another bucky parked next to me. And as I get closer, I see broken glass on the floor. And I go, oh no, I left my laptop in the car. Broken glass. And I get closer, and the window of the bucky, the back canopy, was broken. So the guys had gone, they'd broken in there, they've taken some stuff, and I look at my car, it's right next to it. My car's under the light, so there's a light, it shines in through my back window, there's my laptop bag. Nothing wrong with my car. And I just felt God say, in that time, it's like, really, Adrian? Really? Go rant, rave, go run around. I'm in control. Regardless of what's going on, regardless of those brambles that's around you, that picture that was up here this morning, regardless of that, God is in control. He's got your back. Go. Have fun. Explore the world. Follow what God has said. He's in control. Do not settle. Follow God's blueprint for your life. But Adrian, I don't know what my blueprint is. It's okay. God says, make disciples, go. How do I do that? Well, Easter Sunday, that colleague at work, listen, we're getting together at a friend's house for breakfast. You want to come? You're outside of your comfort zone. You're pushing in. You're following the God, the blueprint God has for your life in a safe way. How much comfortable? Well, it will become uncomfortable at the breakfast. You'll have to make conversation. That you can work on. But that first step, hey, why don't you come with me? Yes? I think some of us need to be praying for people in our workplaces. I think some of us, and if this is you, I'm going to challenge you. You'll know if it's you this morning. I'm sorry, I'm just, the Holy Spirit is just moving here this morning. If you feel that you should pray for someone in your workplace, do it. Do it in the corridor. Do it in the break room. Pray. Because I believe when God puts something in your heart, act on it. Don't settle. Don't be afraid. I mean, really, if the God of the universe, let's imagine Jesus comes back. Boom, right now. Yes? Monday morning, he's walking next to you at work. The two of you are having a lack of conversation. It's like, yo, Jesus, so great to have you here, man. Yeah, this is my work, and that's John. I work with him, and that's James. And then Jesus says, go pray with James quickly. I think James has an issue at home. Will you go pray with him? What will you do? They go, oh, no, sorry, Jesus, I can't. Yeah, what? Yeah, now? People are getting coffee over there. And he's like, yeah, man, go over. It's like, no, Jesus, you go. So, yeah, just imagine, Jesus is standing right next to you and he says, go. Will you do it? Because if you feel that prompting, essentially that's what's happening. That same spirit that was in Jesus lives in us. It says that it's Jesus says, I will send my spirit. It's his spirit that lives inside of you. Essentially, Jesus is living inside of you. And when that spirit says, will you go and pray for that person? Ooh, Jesus, not yet, no. It's like, no, go, go. Don't follow the wrong blueprint for your life. Follow God's blueprint. Phew. Second one, don't build a name for yourself. This is a hectic one. And bear with me here. Because what is underneath this, do not build a name for yourself. We see this, the guys from Babel, they settled and then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with it, stop in the heavens. Why? And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. So they settled because of comfort and security, and then it became something more. It became pride. And we think, I'm not prideful. Well, if you make that statement, it tells me exactly where pride is in your life. We literally, if you think about it, our focus is to make a name for ourselves. Our focus is how many likes do we have? Yeah, how many followers do we have? How many people around the world know my name? That's what the social media thing is all about. Yes? Yeah. Unless, is anyone not on social media? You're okay. That's what we want. We want people to recognize our name. Yes? And social media, they've actually done studies. Influencers have more than 57% influence over popular culture, which means 57% roughly of the things that we do gets influenced by random people. Someone because they've got 1,000 likes. And you go, Adrian, what are you talking about? Well, let me give you an example. A rapper writes a song. It's called Toot Toot 6-7. Another young man at a basketball game shouts 6-7 at the game. The result is a dance teacher whose primary way of starting a dance routine is to count down 5, 6, 7, 8. Can you imagine, with this going on, the creative ways I've had to go about getting around that? Because everyone, I counted in Spanish, in German, and then they figure out, siete means 6-7. You think it doesn't affect you? Yes, it does. We want to build our name for ourselves. We want our name to be 1 million followers. Because then I'm known. Then I'm important. And the person who has 1 million followers, they must know something because they've got 1 million followers following them. Yes? That's our culture. We don't want to not be part of that. We want to have those followers. But here's the thing. Out of all of those 1 million names, let's say right now you get a ping on your phone, the whole world is following you. Okay, maybe that's a bit far-fetched. Let's say you get like 300,000 likes on a post. Yes? You'll be like, yo, I'm known. Yeah? How important is that? Those other people that know your name, how important are they? You don't know who they are. Yeah, 300,000 random people. How important is it that they know your name? Oh, good question. There's one person, though, that we'd like to have our name known by. One person our name should be known by. And that's Jesus. Only one name. We just need one follower. We just need one like. That's all we need. And our lives are changed. We sang about him all this morning. We've been speaking about him since the beginning of time, essentially. Because we see Jesus throughout Scripture. We see Jesus in the Tower of Babel. I will get to that in a second. We just need one name to like us. Because that name is the name above all names. The King above all kings. The one that sacrificed when we were rejecting him, the one that he sacrificed his own life so that we can be known by him. What would you give to have that name follow you? Hey, here's the thing. He's not asking you to do anything. All he's asking you to do is, will you open your heart? Will you let me in? Will you let me be your friend? And you will be known by him. You will be followed by him. But pride is a sneaky thing. Pride comes subtly. Because we think we're humble. Yeah? That's what we do. Especially in church. I grew up in a very conservative church. You have to wear hats, ladies. If you were in the old congregational church where I grew up in, right now the pastor or the preacher probably would have stopped the whole thing and go, sorry ladies, you have to go home and go put the hat on because that's required. And yet we just need to go back to that one place. Yeah, we just need that one name. We just need that one name to follow us. Just Jesus. Because when he knows us and he says he's going to send his helper to us, we get these prompts. Watch your pride. Watch your pride. And not just that, there'll be people around us that will go, "Watch your pride." My wife knows me in and out. She knows the pride issues I have. Trust me, I'm the first one. I've got pride issues. Yeah. And Taryn knows exactly how I go about it. Because I'll be like, "Oh, you know what? We'll put on a show." People are like, "That was brilliant." "Ach, no, it's..." "That's okay." It's like, "No, no, it's not. That's the dancers." It's like, "Oh, no, man. You know, it's just a little thing we threw together, a few lessons, etc. But it's about the dancers. Stop it. Don't stop it. Stop it." Yes? I'm hoping you seeing how subtle pride is, because we think we're being humble. We think if I go, "No, I'm shunning the limelight. I could never get on stage and speak. I could never sing like Marius." No, that's not me. We think that's humility. It's not. You're withholding something that God gave you from the rest of us. There may be some of you sitting here that have brilliant voices. We don't know, because you, "Oh, I can't. I don't do the spotlight." There's no spotlight here on you. Spotlight is on Jesus. If that's your thing, spotlight can't be on me. It's like, okay, so let's talk about that pride thing right there. Yes? Tim Keller says, pride is putting yourself at the center instead of God. And he says it manifests in two ways. It's the superiority pride. That's the one where we like sort of, "I deserve to be on stage." Like you like, "Hello, Dar." "Yeah, this is my spot." Yes. And we build towers around our identity. "Look at me. I'm on stage. Look." Yes, we build towers. Or with the second one is the inferiority pride. That's the one where you're just at the back there and you're like, "I don't deserve to be there. I'm the background. I just operate here." It's like there's a place for that, and that's absolutely brilliant. But what if you've got the gift to bring a message? Yes. What if you, while we were sitting and singing this morning and worshiping God, what if you felt a verse, like as in, "Ooh, this verse just popped into my head," or you had a picture? That's not the time to go, "Oh, no, I don't do the limelight," because now you're pulling it onto you. Now's the time to shine it on the one that gave you that word or that picture. Now's the time to go to the MC and go, "You know what? I felt this. I don't know why, but this is what I felt." It's up to the MC to do with that what's supposed to happen. Yes? It's not on you. We need to do what God asks us to do. Follow the blueprint that God has for you. Yes? Don't make a name for yourself. Reflect onto Jesus. The one name that should be following us. You're lastly, and I think this is for me, the crux of everything. Don't resist the grace of God. We see when we read, if we start reading Genesis, we see humanity, Adam and Eve, try to become like God. "Let us become like God and eat the fruit." When we have knowledge, we will be like God. That was their language. And then in Babel, it was, "Let's build a tower. Let's build bricks." So humanity grasps onto everything to make a name for themselves, to pull themselves up so that they can become the center of the story. That is, we all like to think we're the main character in the movie. We're not. We are all non-player characters. So all the gamers out there, NPCs. That's what we are. God is the central character. Jesus is the central character. We're supporting cast. Here's the thing. God came down to see what's going on in Babel. Yeah? He came down. Man is trying to get to God, but he comes down. Can you think of another time when God came down? In my notes, I just have a prayer. Lord, will you help us right now? Holy Spirit, will you reveal Jesus to us right now? Because I feel this is the moment where we can let go of our pride, of our selfishness. We can let go of this pretense that everything is okay. We can let go of everything. Let's turn our eyes to Jesus for a second. The one that came down into our mess. We're looking at things what not to do. Don't build a name for yourself. Don't follow the wrong blueprint. But at its core, what we need is Jesus to come into us, into our lives. He needs to hold our hands. The Holy Spirit needs to be inside of us so that we can see Jesus everywhere we go. So that we can have that fire that's in your belly that gets ignited when you speak about him. When people are going through things, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Go chat with that person. Go hold that one's hand. Smile at that one. Pray with that one. That's what we need right now. We cannot let this moment pass.